This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Recession? What recession?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. World stocks have hit a high for the year this morning, up 75% from the lows we saw in the teeth of the economic recession. Tokyo's Nikkei Index climbed 1%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index jumped 0.8%. Europe is down a bit. London's FTSE is off about 0.2%. U.S. markets were up yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.9%, closing at 10,092. And we got some good news from UnitedHealthcare this morning. Quarterly profits at the insurance giant were up in spite of higher medical costs. Yesterday, we saw a slew of better-than-expected earnings from Texas Instrument, TJ Maxx, and Hasbro. But the real apple of investors' eyes was, well, Apple. Profits were up nearly 50% over last year. That was thanks in large part to iPhone sales. Apple sold nearly 7.5 million iPhones over the summer. You could call it the iProfit app. Meanwhile, Apple's longtime rival Microsoft is updating its operating system this week, replacing Vista with Windows 7. Microsoft has had a lot of issues with Vista.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
My fellow Americans, I'm a PC.
Why so official?
Well, some people are giving up on Vista Mac because it doesn't work the way they want it to. Other people are going back to XP.
Really? Downgrading?
Yes, but we PCs won't give up. If your printer isn't compatible with Vista, I say, buy a new printer.
So will saying hasta la vista to Vista help boost PC sales? Marketplace's Bob Moon filed this report.
Tonight only, in celebration of the release of Windows 95.
A decade and a half ago, crowds lined up for the new Windows at Midnight Madness sales nationwide.
You can get your copy of Windows 95 while there's still stock.
Microsoft can only hope its latest Windows launch makes a splash more like that over the yawn that met Windows Vista in 2007. The PC market counts on new Windows versions to spur sales, but Gartner researcher Steve Kleinhans remembers how Vista wasn't ready in time to lure in holiday shoppers.
Windows 7 is incredibly well-timed. It's arriving just as we see the economy starting to pick up and right in time for Christmas sales.
So what could go wrong?
Today, I don't think people are really all that excited about operating systems.
Kleinhans says the new software won't make old computers and other hardware obsolete as much as past releases did.
The operating system has become less of a driver in the sense of requiring people to move to a new platform.
PC sales are starting to bounce back, but they could use some sizzle. Sales of Macs have bounced back stronger. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
The price of oil has been climbing in recent weeks, topping $80 a barrel this morning. That's because investors are feeling bullish about global economic growth. But a new report out this week, not so bullish. A group called Global Witness spent 2 years preparing the report called Heads in the Sand. It says oil supplies are drying up fast. Simon Taylor is a founding director at Global Witness. Simon, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
So, Simon, tell me, what did you find in the report?
Basically, the evidence says that we are very close to a sort of maximum output of available oil onto the market, and that this has extremely big geopolitical consequences. And governments have neither acknowledged this, and neither have they seemingly put together any kind of policies that would seek to move us away from the potential crunch of having insufficient oil coming onto the market.
What will that mean for the price of oil?
Well, I think when we had $147 last year, there wasn't a shortage. We were very close to not having enough, but we still had enough. So imagine a world without enough to go around. We're going to have further price spikes, which will have very serious economic consequences. But when there's not enough to go around, we start to enter into the area of essential services that cannot do without oil. We're not just talking about not going to Florida for your summer holidays. We're talking about how do you move food around? How do you grow food? How do you, you know, conduct trade in the normal way? We are completely dependent on oil. And that's really where the crunch comes in and has a big effect.
And what are some of the geopolitical consequences of an oil shortage?
Well, I think we have to ask the question, is a large industrialized part of the world prepared to do without? Or will a large industrialized part of the world say, well, if we don't make sure we have it, somebody else will, and we will be doing without? And these are questions, I mean, I don't want to be a doom mongerer, but when you have such large potential differences between what is absolutely essential and required and no choice for alternatives, then what does happen? I mean, these are very interesting and quite unpleasant consequences to think about.
Simon Taylor is the director for Global Witness. Their new report is called Heads in the Sand. Simon, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And speaking of oil consumption, China has become a huge player in the auto industry. Today, China announced its 10 millionth car has just rolled off of the assembly line. From Shanghai, our very own Scott Tong has more.
Before today, only Japan and the U.S. assembled 10 million vehicles in a single year. China did it in just over 9 months. By contrast, U.S. auto plants this year have cranked out just 4 million units. China, in fact, is tops in two categories, world's top producer and consumer this year, thanks in part to government purchase incentives. Those will end, just as cash for clunkers did. Still, analyst Jerry Huang at CSM Worldwide doesn't see China's auto market breaking down.
The customers in mid-sized cars or SUVs, they don't care about the government incentive or subsidy. So there are still plenty of customers in China which will buy their cars next year.
Top sellers in China are Hyundai, Nissan, and Volkswagen, along with Chinese brand BYD. Huang says China's emerging consumers are just now trading up and replacing their first cars, which gives rise to a brand new job description in China, the used car salesman. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Nissan Motor has just announced plans to market used lithium-ion batteries. The batteries will come from its Leaf electric car. Selling used batteries could help bring down the cost of electric cars. They're typically around $10,000 more expensive than other cars, which is a lot of green. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.